29 degrees in the Mile High City. Good afternoon, Colorado. It is Thursday, the 27th of January, 2020. Stephen Tubbs producing today. Javier Gonzalez, Roger Crittlebaugh in the newsroom. Pleasure to have you along with us as we begin hour number two of the program. Three great guests coming up before 7 o'clock tonight. And if you were with us the last 30 minutes or less in our first hour, I sure hope you were, because it is the least we can do. And we say this every year on this day, and we do things like we did last hour on this day. It was 77 years ago today that the Soviet troops liberated Auschwitz. And it would be, as you heard, if you were with us in one of those pieces from a documentary, I believe from the BBC, it was not instantaneous. And when I mean instantaneous in terms of 1945, I'm talking about a few days. It was much longer. The world did not know of the atrocities that the Nazis were and had perpetrated on millions of Jews. And especially with these concentration camps, it would be weeks, if not months. And one of the things, and I always love to learn, and I needed a fresh reminder, I guess in my mind, I always want to think of Uncle Sam, our incredible members of the Greatest Generation, that they were the ones, that it was United States troops that liberated Auschwitz. And that would be incorrect. It was Soviet soldiers. And as you heard from last half hour, if you were with us, how the surviving prisoners at Auschwitz, they didn't know who these people were. And I love the one part that we played where one of the Soviet troops started speaking in Russian and then German and then in Ukrainian. And then he said the way it was described was he knew a little bit of Yiddish. And then they came and they fell to their knees at his feet. So we honor, over the years, I've been blessed to talk with survivors. And this is something I mentioned last hour, but in a day where we question, and I think rightly so, obviously, what is on the quote unquote agenda for school boards and teachers unions and many, many educators out there. Let's talk about transgenders. Let's talk about with kindergartners, homosexuals, cross-dressing, drag queens coming in and having story time, teaching critical race theory. This is where we need to kick it up. This should be talked about in schools and taught. And if you have ever had a chance to be in the presence of someone who is able to roll up his or her sleeve and you see the mark, you see the tattoo, I think you understand. And I do know from getting emails, we've had a couple of callers in past years, but I do know that even right here in the metro area, in Colorado, there aren't many, but there are some survivors. And today, and hopefully more than just today, but we think about you. And may humanity never see anything like that again. Coming up in just a few minutes, we will talk about a couple of things for y'all in Aurora in Decay. Is it getting any better? You've got this conservative majority on the Aurora City Council. Is it getting any better? Well, a couple of days ago, the word came out that Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman is planning on reinstituting the camping ban in Aurora. The question is, which I am fully in support of, the question is, literally, you have to ask, are there enough police officers in Aurora to even enforce it? I think you will be stunned at some of the numbers and the discussion straight ahead. We will talk with newly elected councilwoman, our friend of the program, Danielle Jurinski. She joins us in just a few minutes. The big story today. Well, you know what I want to start with is I was going to start with Stephen Breyer, and I thought he delivered some really good remarks today. But let's talk about Ukraine for a moment. Apparently earlier today, the president was on the phone with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. And according to, I guess it's who you believe, and, you know, when I say sources say, and then I hang it on CNN is reporting, well, you may want to take it with a grain of salt. But CNN is reporting that the president of the United States told the president of Ukraine earlier today that an invasion from Russia is virtually certain, and to, quote, brace for impact. Now, that's according to CNN. Now, the White House officially was a little bit or a lot toned down. And the statement from the White House today, quote, President Biden reaffirmed the readiness of the United States, along with its allies and partners, to respond decisively if Russia further invades Ukraine. He also underscored the commitment of the United States to Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, close quote, from a White House statement. We played Pentagon spokesman John Kirby last hour. He says, I don't know. I think they, if they had it to do, well, if you know what, now that I'm questioning myself, if they had it to do over again, would they rule out all of this imminent language? Because they, you know, to me, I mean, if you're even half educated, I don't even know how, you don't need a PhD to kind of look at the definition of imminent. But somebody today just posed the question, you know, such and such at this 11th hour. And John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman, is basically saying this isn't the 11th hour. It was like he was offended. And the reporter, I give her a lot of credit. She's like, well, when, and this is summarizing, what we, you all are using the word imminent, I'd say that's the 11th hour. And then, of course, he goes back into Public Relations 101 and his Public Speaking Courses 101 and Media Relations courses. And he says, you know, the right thing. And that would be, well, we're still trying and attempting to use diplomacy. So I hang that on CNN, but if you believe CNN's reporting, which is, yes, friends, tough to do, President Biden told Zelensky today to, quote, brace for impact. The other story, again, is Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, who held, will play more coming up either later this hour or certainly right after the news at the top of 5 o'clock's hour. But Stephen Breyer today making the announcement at the White House that he, you know, he confirmed it. I don't think this was any big shock, but I liked what he said today. Talked about meeting with students and even all the way up from elementary school to high school to, he even joked, law students. And so there you go. The one question, I think, just to maybe not put to the side, but keep in the back of your mind, how much pressure did the White House push? How much pressure did the White House place on an 83-year-old, a guy that can certainly hold his own, don't get me wrong. But are you kidding me? And I do say this before we get to Daniel Jurinski. I meant to say when we got a great call from one of our listeners, Chris, last hour. You know, we both, Chris and I, the caller, we agree that this White House, no doubt, has been kind of turning the screws. How covertly or overtly, I guess, remains to be seen, and maybe we never get the answer. But do you remember some of the reaction when word came that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed? Let me tell you what I remember about that. I remember two things, and I don't know if I could say number one and number two. I remember them kind of both. It was like a photo finish. They were both equally as fervent a reaction. There were people literally on social media doing selfie videos, saying, screaming and literally crying. How come you just couldn't have lived a few more? You know, whatever. Because, of course, when she passed, well, then it was Donald Trump in the White House. So it's pretty sick. And don't forget that. Don't forget when RBG died, how the crazy progressive left was. They didn't know what to do. Do you put the black dress on and the black suit and pull the black veil over your face? Or do you scream because you're so pissed off that she died? Don't forget that. So with that, and remembering the way many on the left were when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed, I just wonder, well, let's see. It was the fall, late fall of 2020 when Joe Biden knew he was going to be sworn in January 20th of last year. There's somebody that's in charge of probably coming up with that quote unquote short list. And I just wonder over the past, let's just say 12 months, how much pressure was put on Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. You know, hey, wouldn't you like to go teach at Harvard or Yale? Gosh, you know, you haven't got out the golf clubs in a while. Might be time. 303-696-1971 is our number. Happy to welcome in as we switch to live and local and a story, well, strike that, a city that I do not live in, a city that technically our studios are in, and a city that I follow quite a bit. It is the city, sadly I say this, the city of Aurora in Decay. And our friend of the program, Danielle Jurinski, joins us. She's been on with us once since she won. And friend, good to have you on. Thank you so much for taking time.
Thanks, Stefan. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. So before we get into some of these issues, I got to ask you, because you have said on our show from the beginning, you know, back in the day, if you elect me and if I win, I am not considering myself a politician. How's it been so far?
Well, needless to say, I am now an elected official. That's for sure. Am I a politician? Stefan, I don't know if I'm ever, you know, gonna be good at being a politician, but I'm certainly an elected official, and I know exactly, you know, who I work for, and that is the people that elected me and didn't elect me, and that's fine. I work for them, and I hope to be their voice.
Yeah, has it been, I don't want to say, you're obviously an extremely intelligent person, but has there been any kind of learning curve or anything like and I know I'm hitting you cold with this, but, you know, things that you didn't realize that maybe you needed to get done, or things that you had to do, protocol to follow, has there been anything like that so far?
Sure, and we could argue on whether or not I'm ever going to nail this whole protocol thing. I mean, there's things in the city of Aurora that are emergencies, and I'm not going to channel 10 different people to get answers and to resolve issues. So I don't know if I'm ever going to nail the protocol thing, but there's definitely a learning curve, you know, and the amount of emails and, you know, real problems. It's the third largest city in the state, and people are emailing in and they want help and they want answers. So it definitely is a learning curve.
Yeah. Danielle Jurinski, councilwoman in the city of Aurora. First, how does that sound to you? Has it sunk in?
It's sunk in. I mean, I definitely know where I'm at. It's sunk in. I, you know, when I hear councilwoman, council member, you know, it takes me a second. It takes me a second. Very formal.
Like, oh, wait,
for
that's me.
And I'm not used to that.
Oh, that's, hey, they're talking about me. Do you prefer council member? Yeah, do you prefer council member or council woman? Because I want to get it right.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I prefer Danielle, first and foremost. But if you ever want to be formal, Stefan, either works for me.
As long as I don't have to have Madam Council Member, that would be that you'd have to, you know, you keep your feet on the ground, and I'd have to, you know, kind of get you back on the ground. Let's talk about some serious stuff. I want to go back, I think, to the last time that we talked on the program. I think it was right around the height of, I don't know what I should call it, Black November. In maybe because it's an actual color, I shouldn't use that, might offend somebody. But how about Despicable Deadly November in Aurora, where at least 20 plus teenagers were shot? So there's that. What do you see in the new year as far as crime goes in the city now?
Well, nothing good. And I don't want to come on the show and be all doom and gloom, of course, Stefan. But as of today, January 27th of 2022, we have had 33 shootings in Aurora. 33 shootings in less than a month into the new year. You know, and that's shootings, you know, so that's, there's also carjackings. I mean, all the crimes that go on. It's not a pretty picture right now, Stefan.
What do you hear? And, you know, one of the things that I know you and I both share in common is we so respect our men and women in blue. Are they all perfect? No. Are any of them perfect? No, we're not perfect. We're people. But there are great officers in Colorado that wear the uniform. They never know. There's no such thing as a routine traffic stop anymore, if there ever was. But what are you hearing, just maybe anecdotally, from, like I am, from members of the Aurora Police Department? I think the department has, in fact, seen better days, and I hope those good days come back. But what are you hearing?
Well, what you said is my exact message to the men and women of the Aurora Police Department. I know you've seen better days, but we're going to turn this around. I have been out a lot in Aurora talking to police officers at briefings. Several of them, you know, they stop in from time to time at my restaurants to find me, or they'll call me or they'll email me. They know that I've made myself available, and I carry a message that I hope shows them that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that it's a new day in Aurora. There's a new council. And I'm here, you know, and not just myself, you know, Steve Sundberg, Dustin Zavonic, I think hands down I'm the most vocal, and that's very known. but change is coming, and I have said this, and I at some point I'm going to stop saying it, right? Because change is going to happen. But things are in the works. For now, change is coming, and to every police officer, you know, sworn in officer, but also support staff, those of you civilians that work in records and impound, to the entire department, I thank you. I thank you for your service. I thank you for your commitment and your courage, you know, to go out every day. Stefan, we're hearing every day, New York, Houston, police officers, Arvada, police officers are being killed.
Yeah.
Constantly. And this is a department in Aurora where it's no secret. We had current council members show up to a protest that chained the doors to a police district building, locking these men and women inside the building. And I found out that during this 7-hour, you know, protest and then being locked up, these men and women of law enforcement were mostly forced onto the roof.
Oh, well, listen, let's remember that story. Let's remember that story from the year of hell 2020. There was talk outside of that precinct that they were going to burn the building.
Oh, sure. There wasn't just talk. There was actual gas cans. And let's not just remember that, Stefan. Let's never forget that.
Amen.
Let's never forget that. And you know, I guess I get so angry, right? When I even just hearing that out loud, that was allowed. But then I have to stop myself. And I have to remember what drove me to run for office. And that's one of the things, Stefan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just always have to remind myself, you know, that if it wasn't something like that happening, I don't know. If I would be here, and I just am so thankful that I am, and I'm not backing down on the changes that need to happen with the police department, on my outspoken support, my very, very loud support for the men and women of the Aurora Police Department. That's going to be known. I mean, I wear thin blue lives shirts. I'm doing everything I can to let the department know and these officers know it is a different day and you will see a different council.
Yeah. Danielle Jurinski, council member, madam councilwoman for the city. No, she didn't want me to say it. Councilwoman for the city of Aurora, new to the position. And obviously you can hear passionate and fired up as ever. If you're good, we got to take a break, but we'll have you on the other side. And I got a couple more questions this segment on the police department in specifics. And then on the other side of the break, if you're good with your time, we'll talk about the Kaufman plan. plan to reinstitute the camping ban. I think those are two really huge issues right now going on in the city of Aurora. So if you're good with that, we'll have you continue into the next segment. But let's talk about a couple of more issues when it comes to, look, you can give them all the support vocally and through emails and meeting cops at your restaurants or going to a briefing or whatever. I can come on the radio and say, thank you so much. There's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. You wear your thin blue line shirt, etc. But at the end of the day, there is not that that's not reality, because it is for both of us. But at the end of the day, there's also issues within the police department. Right now, I ask you, are there even enough police officers in the city of Aurora right now?
No, absolutely not. And that is what is terrifying. We have no traffic division anymore. We have no DUI division anymore. You know, and I'm saying that publicly. I am saying
and they
that
go when you
publicly.
Say you don't have it anymore. Sorry to interrupt, but when you say any, I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page, because people in traffic division or the DUI division, they've had to go like literally transfer to go back on the streets. Is that right?
Yes, they have been several officers that held special duty assignments is what they are. They have been pulled from all of these assignments and then put back on the street just so that we have police officers on the street. And let me tell you what a day looks like for one of these officers. They're all on, they're on patrol, right? So whether they had a special duty assignment in whatever, they're on patrol and they're going from call to call to call to call. That's it. That is what is happening in Aurora right now. Now, we did move very, very quickly to get out these $8,000 retention bonuses in Aurora. But the message is being made very clear. I received a report this morning of how many officers are leaving either by retirement or resignation from now through March. The message is being made very clear. The $8,000, maybe it'll prolong some of them leaving, but we've got a bigger problem. We've got a bigger problem in Aurora, and it's a huge problem. And anybody who lives in Aurora, has a business in Aurora, does business in Aurora, has a family member in Aurora, any care or any regard for Aurora, every person should be upset. Every person should be concerned. And like I said, this isn't a message to instill fear so much as it is to instill
action. Hey, facts are facts. Facts are facts. And you know what? And I'm not going to have you say it because I don't want to put words in your mouth. When I hear a member of the third largest city in Colorado, a member of its city council say flat out, no, we don't have enough police officers. Do you know what that is to me? This is me talking. That is a crisis. That is a city in crisis.
Well, it is. And I think that, you know, we have some envelope pushers amongst us. And, you know, for anybody that thinks that I am going to be quiet or settle down or it's not happening, it's not going to happen. And like I said, my message needs to not be one so much of fear, but one to incite action. We need action, and people should be emailing city council, me included, and send it to the generic email for city council. I mean, we should be demanding action. I am telling you right now, you are not safe in Aurora. And I am saying that boldly. You are not safe in Aurora. And you know, there's several factors here. There's several factors here. Of course, what we talked about, these police officers being locked, you know, chained up in this district. But it was just the attitude of the previous city council, you know, there's that. And then you look at great news. And let me just add this great news this morning. John Kellner of the 18th Judicial District just announced. Yes, he just announced he's going to run for the state attorney general's seat. This would be huge, huge. Not just for Aurora, but for the entire state. I mean, and I'm not saying that Aurora is the only one facing current crime. You know, that's what always gets thrown at me from the left. Well, you know that this is everywhere. Crime
like
is
like that
everywhere.
Makes it better.
Right.
Listen,
right.
I gotta.
This is what they.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, but we got to take a break because I'm already late. But we'll put mm-hmm. Danielle Jurinski on hold, council member, City of Aurora. And I just want to quote her. You heard it live here. Danielle Jurinski, quote, "I'm telling you right now, you are not safe in Aurora," close quote. We will take a break and we'll come back, talk a little bit more probably about police. And I don't know, maybe we'll see if Danielle can stay until the top of the hour. But this is important stuff. And I'm glad that there is a voice that really doesn't care if, you know, the hate mail comes in or, you know, whatever. This is somebody that that needed to be on council, and thank goodness is. So we'll continue our conversation with the councilwoman coming up next. With runaway inflation, most Fed officials expect at least 3 to 4 interest rate hikes this year. Yesterday, the Fed did not change rates, but did indicate that come March, those rates are going to go up at least a quarter point. Now is the time to take advantage of these near historic low rates. Would you stop procrastinating? I don't mean to get in your business, but do yourself a favor. I just calculated yesterday or the day before. I'm saving about $401 per month. I want you to save triple that. I went with Town Group Mortgage. You can pay off high interest credit cards, consolidate other revolving debt, work with Melissa. She's terrific. They came to my office to do all of the paperwork, including closing documents. If you're a business owner with large write-offs, you're self-employed, no W-2s, give Melissa just 5 minutes to hear your story. If you've got the equity, which you likely do with the home values the way they are, she's going to do her best to help you secure a jumbo loan or any other loan that you may qualify for and fits you best. So if you're a buyer with substantial income, say, but limited down payment, get with Melissa, towngroupmortgage.com. That's towngroupmortgage.com, or give them a call. Tell them Stefan sent you, 833-MY-JUMBO. That's 833-MY-JUMBO, and move before the Fed raises interest rates. We're back after this. Welcome back. 35 minutes after 4 o'clock. Pleasure to have you with us as we continue our conversation. She's good enough, kind enough to stay with us until the top of the hour. Councilwoman Danielle Jurinski, I just tweeted out the quote of the year so far, and that is, quote, "I'm telling you right now, you are not safe in Aurora," close quote. I think I know Danielle well enough to know she's not saying that to get a headline, to get a tweet. She is saying it because she is a native of Aurora and she cares. And now she is privy to some, well, a lot more behind the scenes information than she had when she was, I say this in air quotes, just a multi-business owner in Aurora. And before we bring her back on, just remember, we first met Danielle last year and she said, you know, she didn't decide to run for city council. The government, the state mandates, shutdowns, mask mandates, all of that, they made it pretty easy for her. And as you know, she won her election last fall. So we continue. I just want to give get a couple more things, Danielle, on the police department. We both agree, and again, at least it was my word, that the city of Aurora is in a crisis right now with the lack of officers. Give somebody just a general broad sense of people in the police department, these officers. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, a lieutenant or a sergeant or whatever. People that have been there a long time have left already. How does this get any better?
Well, we removed the chief immediately. And with her, takes out the trash of the deputy chief of police, Darren Parker. The chief of police, Vanessa Wilson, and the deputy chief of police, Darren Parker, need to leave the Aurora Police Department immediately. Immediately. And along with it, their antics of destroying police officers' lives, of ruining the department's reputation, throwing police officers under the bus publicly, and embarrassing. And Stefan, I'm not talking, you know, use of force claims, stuff like that. I'm talking officers with some issues. Maybe it's PTSD, you know, whatever it is. And having, you know, an issue with drinking or having an issue, you know, or their personal marital lives or, I mean, all of these things publicized. Destroying officers. If you want to fire somebody, then you fire somebody. But to put them out there publicly and run their names through the mud, and it affects their families, everything, you know, their pictures and their names posted all over the media. And I know for a fact other department chiefs have asked her, What are you doing? What are you doing airing a department's dirty laundry like this?
Now, just so I'm clear, Danielle, just so I'm clear, I just want to make sure that that we're on the same page and that everybody listening is as well. You're not saying, like a specific instance, you're not talking about, say, the officers involved in the Elijah McClain death and talking about, or are you? I don't know. I just want to be clear.
Well, at this point, the officers involved in the Elijah McClain death are going to go before a jury, and it's going to be for them to decide. Right. But I will say they've already been cleared by four different agencies of any wrongdoing. So now we'll see what a jury decides. I'm not talking about the Elijah McClain officers. I am talking about, there was an officer who she embarrassed so bad, put his name out publicly, smeared him so bad, talked about his personal life, his marriage, put it all out there in the media. That man went home and drank himself to death. But that's not in the media, Stefan. That's not in the media. It's in the media about an officer who sent out an email to membership, to his private membership. And she has him wrapped up in an internal affairs of that investigation for the past 3 months. And there's no end in sight on that. It's frivolous. It's frivolous. And it's phony, and it's, you know, her quest for transparency. Well, then be transparent. What else is being hid in this department? What else is being hid? What is being covered up? Why is there a lieutenant who drives drunk and destroys a city vehicle? And instead of him being put on administrative leave immediately when she found out about it, no. He's not put on administrative leave for 7 weeks. And in the course of that 7 weeks, Stefan, he's promoted to an interim division chief position.
Wow.
Riddle me that.
Wow.
She's trash. If they want to quote that, the Aurora Sentinel, also known as Dave Perry's blog against Republicans, if you want to quote something, Chief Vanessa Wilson is trash.
Wow. Okay. Hold on a minute. I got to get a drink of water.
Drink some water, Stefan. Get ready. Ready. This is my hometown we're talking about. And those who threaten to destroy it or do harm to Aurora, just know that I'm here. I'm here.
I'm not laughing at you. It's just I rarely have guests on in positions like yours who are, you know, let me speak on behalf of at least, 99% of our audience. At least we know where you stand. And at least it's a breath of fresh air that someone will actually speak his or her truth. And in this case, I just appreciate the candor. Let me ask, and then we'll have one more segment with you, but your thoughts as you have the opportunity as, being conservative in the majority now on council, what do you think of reinstituting the camping ban in the city?
Well, reinstitute it. We've got to pass it first.
Yeah, yeah.
It's coming back to council for a vote sometime in February. And I look forward to it passing. You know, we're working very hard to come up with a plan. We've got to have somewhere for people to go. So we're working very hard to come up with a plan that isn't a massive tax burden on the citizens of Aurora, but is also humane, a humane option. And so we're working diligently on that. But ultimately, I look forward to seeing the camping ban pass.
When we come back, we'll put Danielle Jurinski on hold and take our final break of the hour, then come back in our final segment with the council member. And what I want to know is, hearing what we've heard over the last 15, 20 minutes with what seems to be the dire straits of the Aurora Police Department. Okay, so a camping ban is put in place. How are you going to enforce it? So we'll continue. Danielle Jurinski, holding back nothing. And I love it. This is 710 KNUS. Welcome back. 12 minutes away from the top of the hour, we continue our final segment with Councilwoman Danielle Jurinski from Aurora. And she's been so on fire, I had to stop and take a couple of drinks of water. If you're just tuning in, Danielle, she said it. I'm quoting accurately. She's on with us to tell me if I'm screwing it up. And I quote, "I'm telling you right now, you are not safe in Aurora," close quote. That is after Danielle reported, she saw a document today, 33 shootings in the city of Aurora as of this new year. That would be 27 days, and we're not even a full 27 days into the new year. And then, boy, the fireworks before our last break, calling out the Aurora Sentinel to quote her directly, and I quote, "Chief Vanessa Wilson is trash." Earlier in the answer, saying that the police chief and deputy police chief, quote, "need to leave immediately," close quote. I think I know you well enough. You're not saying that again to get a headline, but that's truly how you feel. And somebody just on social media said, "I have lived in Aurora my entire life. And in summary, it's about time somebody starts talking like this." And that was obviously a compliment to you. You're kind of sticking your neck out there being a newbie, but I know you don't make any apologies in our final segment.
There will be no apologies. There will be no apologies. And I just want to clarify something. I had lunch with the chief of police in Aurora. I had lunch with her. And I told her, there's a big problem. You see this. I mean, you lose 150 members of a department in 2 years, and you don't see that as a problem? There's a problem. I met with her. I had lunch with her. I gave her one chance. I even offered to help her if there was a way that we could rebuild her image with the department, that we, you know, of course, Stephen, this was long before I heard all of the things that I have heard now. And I'm so grateful that police officers have become open books and are telling me the things that they're telling me. And I'm finding out the things that I'm finding out. But I asked her one thing. I said, even a bigger problem than you, chief, may be your appointed deputy police chief. He may be the bigger problem. What do you think about as a show of faith, you know, that you mean business and you want to change and you want to stop losing all these officers on your watch? Why don't we reappoint someone else and try to start fresh?
What was the response to that?
Some thought was given, and then I was ignored, and I've been completely ignored. And another council member even offered the same thing to her for change, you know, as just a show that change is coming. Another council member asked her to do the same, and she went completely on the defense at that point of her deputy chief of police.
So I'm trying, Danielle, to put myself in a, I don't live in the city of Aurora. I'm trying to put myself as average Joe or Jane Aurora citizen right now, and maybe mm-hmm. just happen to catch you saying what you're saying. I'm not trying to make this like a huge, bigger deal than it is, but hearing you, man, I'm a little bit more concerned than I was, say, an hour ago.
You should be. And if Dave Perry's blog, also known as the Aurora Sentinel, wanted to really start reporting what's going on in Aurora, people would know. You know, they could help out. If I mean, I got a new follower during my time with you on this, Kyle Clark with
what,
Nine
wait, what?
News. Yeah, he just started following me about 10 minutes ago on Twitter. So I have a new
Twitter
follower.
I knew they
were
monitoring. I knew. It's, you know, that Nine wants to know, they find out a lot of it from this show. Okay, yeah. I've got to get to the question. You know, you're always welcome. We've got about 3 minutes left before I've got a break.
Sure.
But you're always welcome, and I do look forward to, you know, we got a follow-up maybe even as soon as next week with you to see if this appearance and your words have mattered. But back to the camping ban, I kind of know the answer to this from what you've said already. How in the hell, even if it was like, you know, a 9-0 vote or however many of you there are, which it wouldn't be, how would any of that be enforced with the dire straits, again, that this department seems to be in, according to you?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's a good question, Stephen. And that's what, and I've said this a million times, and I have constituents talking to me about roads and I want you to pass a camping ban and I want you to do this. Is there anything to talk about
before we
fix our public safety crisis? Is there? Now, of course, I'm in support of a camping ban. Can I tell you that it's really going to work right now with the public safety crisis and the lack of police officers we have in Aurora. I can't tell you that either.
Yeah, it seems, but that seems that honest. Either. That seems honest. I mean, I swear I can just see, you know, right around the station here, we had like a freaking, you know, Parker Road 225 village. I mean, it was big enough to have its own zip code, for crying out loud. And I'm wondering if the camping ban had been in. If I'm, as a citizen of Aurora, call, who's going to answer the call? Like, I mean, I'm sure that'll be put up on high on the priority list.
Well, a council member's father had a stroke right before our very eyes, Stephen, and it took 2 minutes to get 911 to answer the phone.
Wait a minute. I was going to say 2 minutes to get them there is phenomenal. You mean no. To just answer the phone?
Just to answer the phone. Just to answer the phone.
Is there a problem with the number of dispatchers, 911 operators?
Absolutely there is. Absolutely. We don't have very many. There is a big problem in Aurora not being talked about. And Kyle Clark, you just started following me. Give me a call. Give me a call, Kyle Clark, and let's talk about the truth. The truth. I'm not attacking you. I'm not I want a story put out about the truth in Aurora right now. Almost 400,000 Coloradans live in Aurora, and they're not safe. I want a story put out, a real story put out.
Hold on a minute. We're going to open up the door to newsroom number two. Nine News given a new story lead for Hey Next. I think you've helped him out. I hope, listen, I hope that your voice can be heard more, you know, than just on this award-winning and Colorado's most popular afternoon and evening program. Until we speak again, friend, best of luck. And I truly, on behalf of all of our listeners, I just want to say thank you for the lack of a better word, I guess, is just your candor. And may you not be silenced, and may you keep speaking out against the stuff that a lot of people, as you well know, don't certainly know about. I'll give you the final like 20 seconds. Just wrap it up for us.
Well, with that, Stephen, I'll never be silenced unless some, you know, leftist mob carries me away. So check in with me periodically.
I will.
And, you know, make sure I'm still here. To every person that lives in Aurora, I'm here for you. I see it. I'm not going to be silenced. I'm a real person. And like I said, to start this show, I'm going to end it the same way. I'm not a politician. I don't know if I'm ever going to nail the politician thing, but I am an elected official, and I'm ready to be your voice. I'm going to be your voice. And we're going to make Aurora the best city in this state. Thank you so much, Stephen, for having me on.
Danielle Jurinski, nobody better. I love the passion. I love the candor. And, well, as they used to say, my granddaddy would say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. We'll see if Kyle Clark and Nine News contacts the council member. 5 o'clock hour is next. A ton to go over. Don't you go anywhere.